Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Mentor's Gift, one of America's foremost arts leaders, draws lessons from her storied career by Anne C. Ewers, is the first professional memoir to be structured around developing and defining the concept of mentorship through lived experience. The work of one of America's most respected arts professionals, she shares the lessons learned during more than four decades being mentored by corporate CEOs, psychologists, art consultants, artists, financial and legal experts, and reflects on 25 years of being a mentor to arts and culture professionals, a small business owner, a law student, media and tech experts, and on-air talent. Drawing on a career that spanned the U.S. and Canada, coast to coast, along with New Zealand and Israel, and transitions into leading arts organizations, where she must face nearly insurmountable financial obstacles, bankruptcies, mergers, demanding, ego-driven board members, competitors, and bullying stockholders, trying to please donors and audiences, dance around politicians, and innovate using the performing arts to pose questions of justice, where she reveals the indispensable nature of mentorship. Renowned performing arts industry leader and opera stage director responsible for the transformation of key cultural arts institutions, Anne Ewers completed the largest, most prestigious organizational merger in the industry. And Anne C. Ewers, author of The Mentor's Gift, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
I am so honored to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, it is our privilege, and we could do programs talking about all the different phases of your career. We're focusing on The Mentor's Gift, the book you've got out now, a really unique perspective because you have been mentored, you have been a mentee, you know how the ins and outs and what works, and you've spent so much of your life in giving back to other people. This will be a fascinating conversation. What inspired you to write this book? At this stage of your career, why did you decide now's a good time to do The Mentor's Gift?
Well, it actually occurred because of my dear friend, Jackie Mars. And Jackie said, Anne, you have done so much in your career, you should write a book. And I thought to myself, the only thing I've ever written are proposals asking for money and thank you notes. Me? Write a book? I was stunned. But she kept encouraging me. So I spent about a year writing, in sequence, of course, my experiences, but I had no idea how to structure this. So I have a phenomenal editor, Nathaniel Pupkin, and he said, Anne sat down for lunch to our first meeting, and he said, Anne, you have mentioned the word mentor 20 times during our lunch. I think that should be your concept. So that's how it happened.
It's amazing the way that came about in writing the book and doing exceptionally well. The book is The Mentor's Gift. You'll find it wherever books are sold, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about how you went about shaping the book and the direction of the book. It's unique in the presentation. How did you come up with the format for The Mentor's Gift?
Well, once Nathaniel suggested mentor as the focus, it was very easy, frankly, for me to just think about the 31 mentors that I had wonderfully experienced. And then I told my story through those mentors. So my first three mentors were men from foreign countries. I had my very first mentor, Walter Duclos from Switzerland, was my professor at University of Texas in Austin. I was getting a degree in opera production. My next mentor was a phenomenal man, Kurt Herbert Adler, who ran San Francisco Opera for 25 years. And he was my second mentor. And almost on top of him, Lotfi Mansouri, who was at that time a fabulous international stage director, but he was also running Canadian Opera Company. And I assisted him at San Francisco Opera. I said, Lotfi, you are fabulous. I really want to work with you. And he hired me to assist him at Canadian Opera Company. So those three men started the whole concept of working with mentors. And it just blossomed from there.
You know, it's interesting because you go into what you learn. This is like sort of going back to school with these individuals, isn't it? Only you've got the full attention of the teacher. They will respond. Yeah. You know, you're having a dialogue. You got a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You just go ahead and ask the question. It really was like continuing education. It is today. If you do it properly with a mentor, it's like continuing education, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And each one worked a different way. With Kurt Adler, it was giving you opportunities and learning from the opportunities. With Lotfi, it was fabulous conversation, asking questions, and also getting opportunities as well. But it's wonderful to see how each mentor works differently. And I would say, as someone who has mentored, you also work differently with each of your mentees, depending on what they need, how they focus. It's fascinating.
It's really interesting, the thought that goes into that. In choosing a mentor, it's almost like you have a team working with you, isn't it? Some people may think, okay, a mentor, that's singular. That's one person that I'm going to deal with. And you had this whole group coming at it from different angles that really shaped who you were professionally.
Absolutely. And then as time progressed, I would have a mentor who was more psychologically focused. I would have a mentor who was more business focused. And I actually had a mentor who approached me and asked if he could be my mentor, which I was fascinated with. And he was superb because at the time I was living in Utah and I dressed like most people at that time, a long pleated skirt down to the mid-calf, a box suit jacket with no hint of a waist or a rear end. And he said, "Ann, I think you need to have a clothing specialist." And I thought, oh, what am I going to do with that? And she was lovely. She came into my home. She would take something out of the closet and say, "How old is this?" And it was typically 10 to 15 years old. And she would say, holding it in her hand, she would say, "Thank you for your service," and throw it into the bag.
I like that.
So I ended up getting an entirely different wardrobe, and that's what I fashion with today.
You know, that's interesting. Again, learning something from everybody, that give and take with the mentors. The book, The Mentor's Gift, is available wherever books are sold. I want to touch for a second about the editor you talked about and how he really probably did more than most editors do, but people who were going through writing and they have this relationship with an editor. Talk about that. You had a special relationship and he really took an interest in getting this book out there to as many people as possible, didn't he?
Well, here's the amazing thing. I always thought an editor was about cutting and removing and what have you. But Nathaniel would say, "Ann, you need to flesh this out a little bit more. Tell more of what you were thinking here." I mean, it was fascinating. And we would work, I would write a chapter and we would take about a week going back and forth, editing. He would make suggestions. I would make changes. And it was phenomenal, phenomenal. And he did not stop at just editing. When it came time to look for publishers, he gave me a list of 30 publishers that he had researched with their contact information, with what they were most interested in. I was amazed, amazed. And he continues to help me today.
That's amazing that he has gone that extra. Well, he knew something was there. This book is going to help a lot of people, mentors, giving them some ideas what they can be doing to maybe enhance their messaging, and to mentees, what they should be looking for in a mentor. The book is The Mentor's Gift. You'll find it wherever books are sold. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And in dealing with the editor, he got you involved in social media. This is like a whole new world, isn't it? I mean, you're accomplished in the world of opera and arts business businesses, and all of a sudden now you're in publishing. What was that like going in with a whole new business?
Rick, let me just explain. I can't spell social media, right? So wonderfully, Nathaniel guided me in finding someone who was a social media expert. And that way, I could write the copy but they would do everything else. So we post every 2 weeks. I write a newsletter once a month, but I do nothing about putting it together. Then the people respond. She gives me their responses, and then I write my responses, and the social media expert returns those to the people. I mean, all I do is write copy. That's it.
And it's been so successful in doing this, and the approach has been really producing results and getting the book out there and people commenting on that. Again, it's a book, if you're thinking, well, she's been involved in the arts and an opera singer, I've never gone to an opera in my life, is this going to be for me? This really is for everybody, isn't it? The book is written, absolutely. It can apply to all of us.
Because when you think about it, each one of us could use shaping or guiding or support in whatever we're doing. And so a mentor is someone that you can share ideas with, ask questions. But the beautiful thing is there is no judgment. You are talking with someone who can give you suggestions and guidance, but you can share everything because there is no judgment.
What makes a good mentor? Out of all that you had, there are probably some that maybe stick out a little bit and you felt more comfortable with. What makes a good mentor? If somebody's thinking about, I don't know if I have the time, I don't know if I have the disposition to be a mentor at this stage of my career, what makes a good mentor?
I think someone who knows how to listen.
Ah, okay.
You've got to listen to what your mentee is saying. You've got to be able to communicate in the way that they understand. And it's really finding a connection. And there are some people that you just won't be able to connect with, you know.
Yes.
So accept that and move on.
When you are a mentee, talk about that role. Because you talk to some people that almost feel like I'm an intrusion. I hate to ask too many questions. I hate to take up too much of their time. What's the role of a mentee, and should all this be sort of worked out ahead of time when you are going to work with somebody or for somebody?
Well, you work it out in the moment because you really don't know until you connect with the mentor and you see how the two of you communicate, how you operate. And I find it a fascinating process, and I have, all the way through my career, have had two or three mentors at the same time. And you gain something from one and something different from the other. And it works beautifully. But you must be open and receptive. If you are defensive, if you are covering a part of yourself, it doesn't help. You can't really have the full value of a mentor unless you open yourself and embrace what they say. Now, you can decide, I agree with that or I don't, but you need to hear it.
Our guest is Ann C. Ewers. Ann is A-N-N-E, Ewers, E-W-E-R-S, if you're Googling. The book is The Mentor's Gift, One of America's Foremost Arts Leaders, draws lessons from her storied career. Book available wherever books are sold, and a link at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I love your story. And let's go back to the love of opera. When did that begin for you? Who introduced you to opera?
Well, you'll love this. We lived in a tiny farm community in Illinois, and every Saturday, Mom would listen to the Met broadcast.
Oh, yes.
So I learned, you know, Butterfly and Bohème and what have you. I frankly had no idea what opera was, but I heard it. And so I was fascinated by it. And then Mom and Dad, when I turned 21, took me to see Tosca at Chicago Lyric. And I was blown away with the visual, with the grandeur, with the whole thing. And I then decided I've got to get into this. And I found, I went to the University of Texas, not realizing it was one of the three best schools for opera in the country at that time. And my mentor, Walter DeClue, I came as a singer, and I told him, you know, singing is fine, but I'm really interested in directing. I had directed musicals in high school. I had directed plays. I had directed all kinds of things. And he said, a woman director? Absolutely not. Women should have babies, period. Babies and sing, period. Whoa.
Yes. Well, then what, that Catholic education kicked in, and you decided, you know, I can do this, and watch me. I'm going to do this. That was great determination. A lot of people would just go, okay, and, you know, go back to the other side of the room. You fought them, and you won. You learned how to do it.
Well, here was the wonderful thing. The assistant professor was due to direct scenes, a scenes program. He broke his foot. And there was no one else to direct because everybody else was studying voice and what have you. So DeClue came to me and he said, Ann, very begrudgingly, okay, here's your chance. So I directed these scenes and people came roaring back afterwards applauding. But the one that meant the most was DeClue. He said, Ann, that was phenomenal. You can get your degree in directing. And he became my first and strongest mentor till the day he died.
See, it's amazing if you have an open mind, what you might learn. He automatically, like, you're a woman. You sing, you have babies, we'll get the men to come in here to direct. Begrudgingly, he gives you this opportunity, and suddenly a whole new world opens for him. There are other people out there with talent. It's an amazing story. And yours is our guest on the program, just talking a little bit about her background and the new book, The Mentor's Gift. And you decided to talk about this when you were a good singer, an excellent singer all of your life. And you talk about when the joy went out of that, when you decided this is not what I want to do anymore. Talk about that. So many of us get caught up in something and we feel we can't let go. You shifted gears very wisely and made some major career decisions that all worked out remarkably.
Well, they did. But here's the thing. My voice was small. It was beautiful, but it was small. And I really knew that I was never going to have an operatic career. And I thought, why am I doing this? I love to sing, but I love to direct. And so I decided, let me choose the thing that tells other people what to do. So anyway, and frankly, the minute I did, it felt freeing. It felt like, wow, I love this. This is what I'm supposed to do.
You know, and that goes back to what you're 6 years old and you're directing neighborhood plays in the carport of your house. Talk about that. I mean, you were born a director.
I was. Now you have to realize that that tiny stage in our carport, we put out folding chairs and the neighbors would bring folding chairs. But my view beyond the folding chairs were cornfields. I mean, literally cornfields. But I thought, okay, let's do plays. And so I, of course, and my siblings would play roles. My brother John, however, was not interested. So we let him do the backstage work. And it was a riot. So I was directing neighbors. And here's what's wonderful. I have to share a quick thing. So I've been doing a book signing tour. And I went to my small town of Ottawa. And my neighbors, from when I was five, came all the way from Chicago, about a 2-hour drive,
wow,
to this book signing. And they were the ones who were in the plays. And talk about deja vu and connections. It was fabulous.
It's just amazing, the life that is successful in career choices. And then you decided to transition into arts administration. And I went through some of the pitfalls there. I mean, this is dealing with budgets. This is dealing with people that want to give money, but they want something back in return, the recognition, you know, the personalities involved. Why did you decide, what led you to that transition from stage directing, which you'd done a number of those to have critical acclaim, to going to the other side of that, and no administrative training, but you took on administrative jobs and big challenges too.
Well, here's the thing. I had never taken a business course, nor have I still taken a business course in my life. So what happened was Boston Lyric Opera had done The Ring Cycle to great acclaim. I was the director, but I was brought in as a guest. That company was an $80,000 a year company. With The Ring, they went into debt, $350,000, closed their door for a year. And then the board chairman came to me and said, Ann, would you reopen the company? I had no administrative experience. I called my dear friends in Toronto. They worked for a Canadian opera company, a development director and a marketing director. And I said, guys, what do we do? They said, Ann, take a contract for 6 months. You'll figure it out or else the company will fail and it won't be your fault. So my second day on the job, my sister was getting her MBA from BU in Boston. I phoned and said, Joan, how do I work percents on a calculator? I was a mess. I was a mess. But I went to each of the folks who were owed money, and I said, write off half, and I will raise the rest. And they did. So I got rid of the debt completely and then launched that company into performances, you know. And from there, that was a five-year stint. I thought, well, I'm going to really do stage directing 100% because my salary for an entire year was $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And by the end of the fifth year, it was $7,000. So I had to direct because I needed to live, right? But anyway, I directed free of administrative responsibilities for a year and a half. And then Utah Opera started calling. And I thought, oh, I don't know how to do this. But my two folks who had guided me originally were doing a general director search for Utah Opera. I went out, I interviewed, I loved the people, and from there, it's been history.
And it's successful history. It's just such a remarkable story. The time is going by so quickly. Like I said, there's so many phases of her life and her careers that we could focus on each one individually for a considerable amount of time. And we're talking, and yours, our guest, that's E-W-E-R-S, if you're Googling, trying to get more information, order the book. It's available. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Focusing on mentoring and what you need to do. What was it like when you were mentoring and you had a mentee and you saw them improve, take the information that they were given, implement it, and they were successful at that? How rewarding is that when you see what you've done, the advice you've offered has made a positive difference?
You know, it means the world to me. Because I know how much I was helped, and the opportunity to help and guide someone, there is nothing more exciting, more satisfying than that. And I've had some terrific mentees. I've had one who was in banking, decided she wanted to go into law, so she got into law school. I have another one who is phenomenal. She performed in Lion King on Broadway, and the only thing that got her through was Pilates. So she has started two Pilates studios on her own. So we are working together wonderfully. And I have just so many folks who have started one thing, but then how to transition into something else. And I'm thrilled to help with that.
What criteria should someone use if they are seeking a mentor? What should draw them to someone? Somebody might feel, I don't know if they can help my career. How do you go about that initial communication with somebody?
Well, if they meet you, oftentimes I was giving a keynote address, and afterwards someone would come from the audience and say, gee, would you mentor me? So they saw me talking and heard me speaking about mentorship. Others would go online and talk to other people who I had mentored. So I think there's a variety of ways. The main thing is you've got to be able to communicate. Does that person hear me? Does that person relate to me in a way that I can respond? It's all about the connection of people, because basically you're two people trying to support and help and guide.
And we've got just a few minutes left, but I want to go back to the book and the help that the editor was in getting this book out there. This was a whole new area for you, and it's so impressive, the front, the back cover, very well put together. Talk about working with the editor in getting the book ready for market and then marketing once the book is published.
Well, I must tell you, this marvelous book, front and back.
Yes.
Was designed by Nathaniel's son. So,
interesting.
You know, all in the family. And yes. My first social media expert was his daughter before she went to law school. So the Popkin family is the reason that the Mentor's Gift exists. But what was wonderful about Nathaniel, with the editing, which was fantastic, as I said, would take a chapter and go back on it for a week. But he also guided me in how to find a publisher, how to deal with book signings. He is still guiding me today. You know, how do I, you know, do interviews such as this? I mean, he's far more than just an editor.
And again, you see him as officially editor, a mentor as well, someone that you can rely on and listen to and ask questions and grow from. And the book will answer so many questions and remarkable stories in the book as well, stories about going into the arts and managing and dealing with budgets and bankruptcy and egos. And would love to talk about that on another program. The Mentor's Gift is the name of Anne's book. What do you hope the outcome is when somebody reads The Mentor's Gift? What do you expect the messages to be that they'll take away?
Well, hopefully it's about giving someone the courage to do what they want. It's hopefully giving someone ideas about how they can connect with others to get help. It's about how to be open and receptive for help. And yes, it deals with opera and the arts, but frankly, I think anyone can gain from The Mentor's Gift, learning about how to listen, how to share, how to be open to guidance and support.
There are so many messages for all of us in Anne's book, The Mentor's Gift. What are you working on now?
So my dear sister, Joan was 3 years younger than me, sadly passed away 5 years ago from cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So thank you. So I am writing a book about Joan. Who knows if anyone will care to read it, but it's important for me. And Joan, of course, was named after Joan of Arc. And in Philly, as you drive along Kelly Drive, there is a statue of Joan of Arc, all in gold. And I say hi to Joan every time I go by that statue, which is at least once a week.
Well, we'll look forward to that as well. That's in the process of being written now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Nathaniel is with me on every chapter. We're up through chapter 7.
That is perfect. I would love to read and talk about that book as well. This book is now available all across the country, wherever books are sold. The Mentor's Gift, one of America's foremost arts leaders, draws lessons from her storied career. Her name is Anne Ewers. Anne is A-N-N-E, Ewers, E-W-E-R-S. I'd like to thank King Pages Press for arranging our conversation today. The author's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. KingPagesPress.com. And this has been fun. So much more we can talk about, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
I would love to return, and you are fabulous. Great questions. Thank you so much.
Well, even better answers. So thank you very much for joining us on the program today. Again, Anne Ewers, the book is The Mentor's Gift. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.